Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley here with you alongside Nick Keiser. Joe Rex Road live from the NFL Combine. He'll be back with us tomorrow. Was on the show earlier. Rough start for Joe Rex Road this morning, but handling some Combine duties up there in Indianapolis. So let's talk about that and more. We welcome in our friend Corey Curtis from News 2 on our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I am delightful. I'm so joyous that we've gotten rid of the dead weight and we can have some private time.
Yes. Yes, we can. Me and you together. Been waiting for this for a long time, my friend. A long time. Corey, we've been discussing the Predators this morning, a five-game winning streak, so they get embarrassed on home ice 9-2. Enough to the point where you think, all right, well, that's probably all she wrote for this season, and the path forward for Barry Trotz seems clear. And what a response by them. What do you make, number one, of that response? And number two, what do you think this means for Barry Trotz as he's trying to make a decision on what to do over the next couple of weeks before the deadline?
Well, it's remarkable what happens when someone other than Forsberg and O'Reilly score.
There is that.
And I think they had 15 different goal scorers on the road trip. And, you know, if you look to a lot of the game, I mean, I don't know how many goals Forsberg scored in the five. I know he scored last night, but I don't think he had many more other than that. And Nyquist scored from that first line, but three of them were empty netters. So they got a lot from, you know, Kiefer Sherwood and Luke Evangelista and, you know, Jakob Trenin scored, and Mark Jankowski got sent down and pulled up eight times between five games and managed to score. I don't understand that at all. But, they got secondary scoring and they got, you know, other people to produce. Did it take canceling a concert for that to happen? I don't know. But, you know, they showed that they can win, you know, when those guys deliver. Now, should they be buyers or should they be sellers? You know, I mean, look, when they lost 9-2, I was right there with you. Yeah, I don't want to give away good players, okay? I'm not the person who's like, trade Forsberg, trade Yossi, trade, you know, get what you can. You don't just get those guys. And when you trade for draft picks, there's no guarantees that you replace those guys, in case you haven't seen with the A.J. Brown trade. All right, there's no guarantee. So I'm not for trading away great players just to get assets. All right, but as I said, I think on Jared's show, you know, like when the Titans traded AJ Brown, they didn't have another one waiting in the wings. If the Preds want to trade UC Saros, they've got another one waiting in the wings. The guy just won like 25 games in a row in Milwaukee, and so we ask ourselves the question, Robbie, that we have been asking for, it feels like, 20 years here. Do you want to keep fighting for eighth and getting a spot in the postseason, or do you want to be one of those teams? And I think if they want to be one of those teams, they need more than they've got. Yes, it's nice to see them winning with the group that they've got, but I don't think that anybody thinks this group is a threat to win the Stanley Cup. And so that's the goal. How do you get there? And I think that's the long, hard look at it.
Yeah, I think it's a great question. And to your point, you know, with guys that you have on the roster right now, you know, when you've got UC Saros in net, when you've got Forsberg, when you've got Yossi, and, you know, a handful of other guys that have been around and established players in this league, you're not going to be bad enough to be, you know, picking in the top five, right? I mean,
and they've been that way for 25 years.
Exactly. So if you know that, how do you go about getting one of these elite players? Because that's what it's all about, Corey. Like, you gotta find a way to add elite forwards to this roster by any means necessary.
Mm-hmm. I mean, how many teams have we seen just stink out loud tank to do it? I mean, you know, the Blackhawks did it to three Stanley Cups. The Pittsburgh Penguins did it. How many cups have they won?
Three.
With those two guys? Three. The Tampa Bay Lightning did it, and they've got, I think, three. So, you know, and I'm not saying to tank, but I'm agreeing with what you're saying. You can keep adding mid-level players and have, you know, nice young players that you're trying to build. And once in a while, you may strike something with one of those guys. But, I mean, have they? I mean, Hornquist, you know, who's a seventh rounder who turned into a 30 goal scorer for him one season. They don't have a lot of those guys that they've drafted and developed and they've turned into a consistent goal scorer. You know, because, I mean, have they drafted a forward in the top 10 other than David Legwand?
Maybe I'm trying to remember if Colin Wilson was in the top 10. I think he was close, but to your point, no, not anywhere near.
Yeah, I think he was seven. Yeah. And so they haven't had many stabs at that. And you know, they've taken the reach. Who's the Finnish kid who's with the Kraken now?
Tolvanen.
Everybody. Yeah, Tolvanen. You know, he was a guy with a lot of offensive upside. And, you know, so you took a gamble on him at the end of the first round. It just never worked out. You know, because you're just constantly searching for that goal scoring. And so they do need assets to try to acquire one of those guys, because to continue to go, you know, with the type of player that they've got, while they're predator type of players and while they're competitive, I have a hard time believing they're going to hoist the cup with Kiefer Sherwood.
Corey Curtis from News 2 with us here on Robbie and Rex Road. So, Corey, the combine this week in Indianapolis. Rand Carthon, Brian Callahan addressing the media tomorrow. On the Carthon front, what are you most curious to hear about? What are you most curious to learn about from Carthon when he addresses the media this week?
Well, I mean, there's stuff I want to hear, and then there's stuff he'll say.
Right.
And he's just not going to say anything. And that's not criticizing him. I mean, not many GMs do say much of anything. But it's just interesting because – you know, last year we were wondering who was calling the shots. You know, all year we were wondering who was calling the shots. And now we know he's calling the shots. And so this will be his draft, you know, truly his draft. And so it'll be interesting to see, you know, what his strategy is, as far as the assets that the Titans have got. You know, do they want more draft picks? You know, because you're in a position where you could trade down and get more picks, and they could use more picks. I mean, they don't have a third rounder, right?
Yep.
I mean, if they could trade down and get, you know, a three and more, and stay in the first round, and I don't want to trade way, way down in the first round. But, you know, that could be beneficial to them. I mean, we all play Mock Draft Simulator, and, you know, it's interesting when I find, you know, when the two tackles are gone, my decision-making gets really hard. And because you start looking at what tackles are beyond there.
Yeah.
And I've been one who's been like, yeah, I'm not afraid to take the receiver now. And that's been a change in my thinking over the years, is I haven't been afraid to get away from the offensive line, because I've always been an offensive line guy. But I think I've got some shell shock from the last 2 years. And like, God, this has really got to get fixed. And not getting one of those elite tackles is kind of scary. You know, what if these guys don't work out? and so I think, you know, the work that you're going to do in Indianapolis and at these pro days to decide how good these guys are, and I'm talking about the two tackles in particular, I think is really important.
Where does backup quarterback, and by backup quarterback I mean established veteran player, where does that fall on your list of priorities this offseason for the Titans? Or are you comfortable going with Will Levis and Malik Willis as your quarterback duo heading into next season?
I'm going to try not to be rude with the answer to that question.
Okay.
They need a backup quarterback. Now, I'm not going to break the bank for it, because they're not in position to compete for the Super Bowl. So I don't think it's necessary to say, well, this guy, you know, he could get us to the playoffs where we could make a run at the Super Bowl, you know, if we miss Levis for a few weeks. I mean, look, weirder things have happened, right? But I wouldn't go bonkers. Now, they've got cap room, which is the other good thing. But I love adding a Gardner Minshew at the right price, because the guy wins games, and you'd make Indianapolis worse for when Anthony Richardson inevitably gets hurt again. If you look at that guy's track record, that's just going to happen, especially with how they plan on playing him.
How would you feel about Jameis? If Jameis is out there and available, bringing him in as a backup quarterback?
You know, I like Jameis working with a quarterback-driven head coach, so it wouldn't scare me quite as much with Brian Callahan, because Jameis has a ton of ability. but decision making has always been his bugaboo. And so if you could get a guy who is in his pocket all the time with decision making, I think you could make him a better player. You know, he can move the ball. He can throw the ball. I mean, you're not Blaine Gabbert. You know, he can get you up and down the field. He just, you know, he's got a lot of Fitz magic in him. And, you know, it can be great and it can be devastating. You know, so it would have to be at the right price. I think I'd be more interested than an A.J. McCarron's, who's never done anything, but, you know, he's connected to the head coach. I'm all about adding some talent. You know, Mitch Trubisky, I know plenty about Mitch Trubisky. They don't need Mitch Trubisky. All right. I know the list isn't great out there, and I honestly don't remember what it is. But
not a ton of great options.
But I think Minshew and Winston are two of the better options out there.
Does it bother you, Corey, that Caleb Williams isn't throwing at the combine, knowing that he's probably going to be the quarterback of the Bears? What do you think?
Not at all. Why? You know what I would do? I'd sit on my couch and say, "Just call me when the draft gets here." I mean, he's got a body of work. Just look at it. Look at the ridiculous throws that guy makes that no one else can make. All right, and you know, yes, you know, part of it is answering questions about your compete level and the person you are and, you know, the pride that you've got about you, you know, but there's also, you know, the hay is in the barn for Caleb Williams. All right. He would have been the first pick of the draft last year. So he does not have a ton to prove in my estimation. I think it'd be valuable for him to sit down and talk with teams, you know, but as far as working out, I don't believe I would do it if I were him. I might do my pro day, and I might show up to the combine. And maybe he could throw if he wanted to. I don't know. If he just wanted to show off, I can throw 60-yard darts. I don't know. But you know, he's without question the first pick in the draft. Look, and I've said this before. You can like Justin Fields, and that's fine. I like Justin Fields. I don't think Justin Fields is a disaster for the Bears. And it's hard to say because the Bears have been so bad as a team. But we all know what uber elite quarterbacks look like, even on bad teams. Look at Andrew Luck. I mean, he dragged the Colts across the finish line because he was awesome. And, you know, that's not Justin Fields. He's not good enough to drag the Bears across the finish line. Now, you hope the Bears get good enough. And with a good team, maybe Justin Fields is good enough to get it done. But that's not what I want. I want Patrick Mahomes. I want Josh Allen. I want guys that elevate everything around them because they're freaking awesome. And that's what I think Caleb Williams has a chance to be. And so picking Caleb Williams is a painfully easy decision to me if I'm the Chicago Bears management.
This week,
whether he throws another pass or not.
This week is such a prime example of just the stranglehold that the NFL has on the sporting calendar. The amount of people that talk about the NFL combine and these guys running drills is just amazing to me.
Well, and they do a brilliant job of spacing, you know, because the Super Bowl's been over for, what, like 3 weeks?
Yep.
And so, you know, the NFL's away, but not very long, and now we got another big event. And then in 3 weeks, guess what happens? Free agency gets here.
Yep.
And that's a big one, and that goes on for weeks. And then, oh, a month later, we've got the draft. I mean, you know, so.
They've got pretty good at this thing.
And then a month later, we've got camps. So they give you a little break, and then they say, all right, it's time to crank it up again. And we're always going to be, you know, in your forefront here. And so, yeah, they do a fantastic job. They absolutely do. And, you know, it's part of it's the product and the anticipation. And again, there are 32 cities right now thinking to themselves, we've got a chance if this happens, if that happens. And there aren't any other sports like that. There really aren't. I mean, just go back to the Houston Texans. I mean, there are not a lot of sports like that where that type of stuff happens.
No question about it. Corey, great stuff as always. Thanks so much for taking time to be with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
It's such a relief, Robbie. It really was. My only disappointment is tomorrow I got to go to Indy and I got to see Joe and his Lego haircut there.
You do. There's no question about it. He's going to be in
a great
mood, too.
I met another guy from Michigan State, like, last week, and he had the same haircut.
That's just like,
I saw Joe, and I'm like, what the heck is going on in Lansing where you guys all have the same ridiculous haircut? Do they have one barber?
We know one haircut. This is what you're going to get. The Rex Road is what we call it.
Well, it's the Lego. They just slap it on your head, and they snap it on.
Well, Corey, have yourself a wonderful time in Indianapolis.
Thanks, Robbie.
You're very welcome. We'll react to what Corey had to say. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. More thoughts on the Titans and the NFL Combine coming up next. We'll get back into the Preds this hour as well. All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Brought to you by Chuck McDowell and Medical House Calls, Middle Tennessee's best medical care in the comfort and safety of your own home. For more information, go to medicalhousecalls.com. Medical House Calls, where the nearest clinic is your home. We are live from our Spring Hill Heating and Cooling Game Nashville studios, keeping your home feeling comfortable all year round. Robbie Stanley alongside Nick Kieser. Rex Road is in Indianapolis, live at the NFL Combine. He's taking care of some duties up there. So Rex Road will be back with us tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. He was a little bit disheveled. In the six o'clock hour.
He was. Yeah, he was very distraught that he didn't have his coffee. I mean, look, I would be too, because I always walk in here with my, you know, my big Tervis or whatever I come in with, or I make it here. But Joe just was not off to a good
struggling.
Day. Yeah.
I mean, you're in there dealing with a situation right now.
I am. Look, I mean, I hate to call her out, but my fiance, Kristen, for those that don't know, I proposed last September, and
she said yes.
She said yes. Thank the Lord, right? But look, I think we all have our moments, and this is the first one that I've had with her in 2 years, by the way, which is great. But when you forget your own car keys in my car and have to go to work and be at a meeting by 9, I'm sorry.
It's
like, what can I do? I physically cannot leave this room in the 3 hours that I'm here, basically, unless I have to go to the restroom or make coffee.
Thank you for clarifying.
And I cannot help. I cannot. This is, and I never rant. I ranted one time when Robbie was on his leave when Allison was born. And I had one rant. This is my other rant. I'm like, please, for the love, do not forget stuff in my car. And she puts stuff under her seat the entire time when she's a passenger. Why?
This is a regular
one
thing.
Day. Yeah.
Under the seat.
Yeah. Under the seat. Every car ride. Wherever we go.
Okay.
To dinner, to hockey, wherever it is. Okay. It's okay. I can deal with it, but she's taking care of it. She's Ubering. I didn't have anybody available to go help her, but I had a phone call before the YMCA theme came on, and I was like, oh boy.
Like, I was just worried about you. I mean, you were kind of disheveled in there.
I know,
playing stuff that you weren't supposed to be playing. You kind of threw you off your game a little bit.
I was.
I just wanted to make sure you're okay.
Yeah, I'm okay. And Kristen's okay, too. So
that's good.
But my golly, just a look into our lives is more of a drama than I realized. But anyway.
Carson on the text line, going back to Caleb Williams. Says, Caleb Williams, overrated. Not even a top five quarterback in this class. Look at the crappy conference he played in. There's no defense being played.
How do you know that?
On the text line.
That's what I want to say. You don't know that yet. There's no way. You know what?
Well, look, he's – to call him not a top five quarterback in the class is –
that's just dumb.
Is a little bit ridiculous. Now, I will say on the Caleb Williams front, all year long, people have been acting like, you know, he's the next Patrick Mahomes. And I think it's a little bit crazy to say that, too. Now, watching him play – can he make some ridiculous throws? Is he super talented? Yes. There's no question about that. And I agree with Corey when he says he would have been the first pick last year. He would have been the first pick last year, and he's probably going to be the first pick this year. Although, you know, there is some, I guess, some momentum for Drake May. But Caleb Williams probably going to be the first overall pick this year. He's uber talented. Now, we've seen plenty of uber talented quarterbacks come into the league and that haven't worked out. We'll see what it looks like. Like, the, you know, the Bears, look, man, they've been a dumpster fire. And, you know, Justin Fields, I think, is a good player. I certainly think Caleb Williams, from a raw ability standpoint, probably has more upside than Justin Fields does. I'm interested to see where Fields ends up. But there's no guarantee, if they take Caleb Williams, that he's going to work out, or certainly that he's going to work out to the level in which he's expected to. I mean, look, we made fun of that FanDuel list last week, But, I mean, it's not necessarily just them. Like, FanDuel had him, I think, as the 12th best quarterback the moment he steps foot in the league.
Something like that,
you know,
yeah.
Over Aaron Rodgers. It's like, all right, well, let's calm down a little bit. No, is Caleb Williams going to be a generational type of quarterback? I don't know. I think he's got the skill set to do it, but there's so much more to it than the skill set that is required, which we've seen before. So
absolutely.
I'm really, you know, I still think he's going to be the first overall pick. I'm really fascinated to see how that goes in Chicago.
You know, you talked about Justin Fields there for just a second because this involves what the Bears are going to do with their future. And I immediately go to where he could go. And I've had several conversations with people here and just with my friends. And it's, look, Justin Fields, I think, would be a great fit for the Falcons. And, I mean, if you go to a team that is trying to, you know, pretty much rebuild, like the retool-esque word, but I think it's interesting that Fields, in the way that he was speaking on the 33rd team podcast with the St. Brown brothers, I just thought the way he was phrasing things was interesting to me, at least. And I'm not going to read too much into a podcast, Robbie, but I think it was interesting, at least, that he was open to the fact that he knows that something is evident, whether it's to stay in Chicago or it's to be traded. And that's fine. And I would rather a player be well aware of his status in the NFL than not at all. That's great. So we'll have to see where that lands him for sure. Where else could he go? I mean, Kirk Cousins is also looking for a job as well for the most part. So I don't know if that's going to be a bidding war necessarily, but we'll have to see how it all shakes out.
Byron on the text line says, wife and I both backed into each other's cars in the driveway. Since I hit hers first, it was such a glorious morning when I heard the front door open on that second smash a few months later. Avoid the cars in the driveway. Nick bringing up marital disputes. 615-737-1025, our phone number. 615-737-1025. We'll take more of your thoughts on the draft, the NFL Combine. We'll also get back into the Predators coming up next as well. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Nick Kieser here with you on this Monday morning, taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. NFL Combine going down this week. Rand Carthon, Brian Callahan scheduled to speak to the media tomorrow at 9:15 and 9:45 respectively. So we'll keep you covered on all those things. Joe Rexford live from the Combine in Indianapolis. He'll be back with us tomorrow morning at 6 a.m. Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in our buddy Mark in Nashville. Mark, good morning. How are we doing?
Yeah, what's up, Robbie? What's up, Nick? I guess Nick's sitting in the seat for Joe.
What's
this
up, Mark?
Morning, right?
He is.
Yeah, how y'all doing,
Rex
man?
Rex Road's been replaced.
Yeah, no, that ain't going to happen, Robbie. You know I'm going to veto that, man. Y'all been taking shots at Joe all morning. You know I listen. You know I listen. When I hear somebody taking a shot at Joe, I'm calling.
I hear you.
I can't let y'all do that to Joe. Joe, get you some chocolate milk and a Krispy Kreme donut. You'll be okay up there in Indy, man.
But, he sounded a little depressed this morning, Mark. I'm just going to be real with you. He was on the struggle bus.
Yeah, yeah. He'll be all right. He'll be back tomorrow, man. I try to cheer him up, man, in the morning when he comes back in. But, you know, I was listening to y'all talk about the draft, and somebody had mentioned that Caleb Williams is going to be a bust. We can't determine that right now. Nick was right. I mean, you can't. I mean, he could end up being a superstar. I mean, he's going to the Bears. The Bears got a lot of picks. It depends on if he has a good OC around him and some great playmakers around him. We don't know what he could be, but I'm kind of the thinking that he could be a very good quarterback. And, you know, I'm going to agree with Corey when he said that maybe he should just throw on pro day, forget the combine and all that. The work's been put in. I mean, you got a lot of film on him. I mean, we know what he could do. I really do think he's going to be a great player. But, Robbie, I'm going to tell you this story before I go right quick, real quick.
Okay.
I heard you talking about the YMCA and all that. Okay, you know I drive a truck for a living. So we're in a truck stop one day in a bathroom. Guy sitting in there, man, naked, in the sink, taking a little free bath right there in the with five, six guys, truck drivers, in the restroom. He's sitting there naked in the sink, man, washing himself.
In the sink?
Off. In the sink, Robbie.
How big is this sink?
Robbie, a toddler, big enough probably for a little baby, a toddler or something, maybe a 2-year-old or something. Yeah, he was in the sink, man, scrubbing himself off and everything, Robbie. I mean, yeah. it was so embarrassing.
How old was this guy, Mark?
He probably had to be in his 40s, 50s and stuff, man. I mean, man, they do give you free showers when you fill up.
That's
you
true.
Know, if you do that over there, they give you a free shower. I mean, man, really?
Oh man.
Yeah, man.
That's tough.
Yeah, we went all and got the manager and stuff, man. The manager ran him out of there and stuff, man. I mean, I thought that was so really nasty, Robbie,
yeah,
to be honest.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, it really was. But hey, man, y'all have a good day.
You
just
too,
wanted
Mark.
To throw that at you and stuff. Y'all lay off Joe. Be careful, Nick.
Thanks, Mark.
Will do, Mark.
Appreciate
see
you, buddy.
Oh my gosh, what a mic drop. Like, what a story.
I can't say I've seen that one before.
I bet he's seen more than that.
Hopefully
though.
I never do.
Man.
In the sink.
That's bad.
It's a bold strategy.
That's really bad. Yeah. Bold move, Cotton. Let's see how it works out for him.
Preds, we'll transition. I don't know how to transition everyone.
I don't
one.
Know either.
Preds sweep the road trip. They win 5 consecutive games. They're back at it tomorrow against the Ottawa Senators. All right, Nick, we've gotten Chase's thoughts on it. Let's get your thoughts on it. How does this influence what you think the Predators and Barry Trotz should be looking at as the trade deadline approaches? Now less than 2 weeks away from the deadline, coming up on March 8th.
So my sentiment now after just watching them on the road is the biggest question is, can they keep doing this? And I think the easy answer is you would hope so, yes. However, I don't think it really changes how I feel. I think you still have to approach the deadline as a seller. I think you still have to look at it in terms of what can we add to this draft class? What can we do to bolster this team for the long run? And look, I even think that to the credit of the Admirals, as much as I've kind of, you know, been watching them, you know, would Barry consider possibly packaging something to get something big from a guy in Milwaukee? You know, not to say that Reed Schaefer is a trade asset, but look, Reed's been here for a year. You hope that he becomes something, but could someone like a Reed Schaefer be packaged to get something bigger for the long stretch? Could it be, you know, a part of a UC Soros trade where you're trying to move up in the draft or if you're trying to do something? I don't know. I think it's a good question, but to me, at least, the same guys are on the trade talk block, I would say. You've got Carrier, you've got Fabro, you've also got Tyson Barry, so you've got at least three D-men. And then I think the rest of the guys that are on offense that could be dealt, I mean, it's kind of whoever you'd really like aside from O'Reilly, Forsberg, and, you know, maybe a Nyquist, but maybe not really. He's on a two-year deal, and I just think, looking at it at a whole grand scheme of things, it wouldn't really surprise me if someone like a Trennan or even a Sissons gets traded and we don't really see it coming. You know, Sissons is on a great tear this season. He's on pace for a career high in both goals and assists. And I just don't think contenders can shy away from the fact that the Preds actually have some pretty decent depth players. And so that's my approach to it. I think they will be sellers, Robbie. Are they going to sell Soros? I think I'm on a no. Right now,
so I even think like he doesn't even fit into like the buyer seller conversation.
It doesn't
like it to me. His situation is just so different. Like to me, it's about an organizational shift. Like you're either keeping what you're doing and you're going with UC Soros and you're comfortable paying him the money on a long term extension, or you're shaking things up to the degree where you're trading him and trusting the kid to do it. I mean, that's if you do that, and I'm not saying it's the wrong move to do that. That's a pretty seismic shift and commitment to the young guy to go that way. And, you know, I think that's a decision where the buyer-seller part of it doesn't really come into play. It's what do you think your future at goaltending looks like, and are you comfortable extending UC Soros with the money that's going to be required to do that? If you are, then you can do that. I mean, you can have conversations right now. You can officially do that on July 1st. If you're not and you want to move on and you've just either you're not comfortable paying Soros the money or you just love what you've seen from Askarov and think he's got a chance to be really special, if that's the way you go about doing it, then I think that is a decision that has to be made on its own, independent of the results. And I think some of these other decisions like a Carrier or a Novak, I do think like the results before the deadline can allow those to dictate what you do there to a certain degree, where I don't think you can with the goalie part.
No. And yeah, I think you're exactly right. And I think Novak, for the price range of other agents, what Elliot said of what he's valued at for $4 million, that's just not it. And I think
there are people that disagree with that though. Like, you know, we got a texter that says, like, you know, if he's a top six player for you, $4 million is really not that bad of a deal, to which I would agree.
Right.
The question
right.
is Tommy Novak a top six player on a winning team. That's what you have to determine. Is he a top six player right now on this team? Yes. Is he a top six player when you get through all this on a winning team where he's playing a role where he can match up against other elite centermen? He can match up against some of those forwards on both sides of the ice, by the way. Like, you got to be able to play in your own end too. Is he a guy that is a top six forward on a winning team? And that's what I think you have to determine if you're Barry Trotz.
Yeah, and in my mind, the answer is no right now. I mean, look, if you're a Colorado or if you're a New York Rangers team that wants to add at the deadline and you want to be stronger down the middle, I don't think they'd be interested in Novak. I mean, if you're talking about playing both sides of the ice well enough, I don't think Tommy has shown that through and through. Now, has he had glimpses of it? Absolutely. But I don't think he's that guy. I don't think he's that guy yet. And look, everyone that's classified him with a younger player, he's not. He's, what, 27 years old on this team and has risen and he's been a late bloomer for sure playing pro hockey, which is quite okay because if you get in this league, you'll take any chance that you can get. But I just don't think that that's how you have to look at it. And I think if you did do a bridge deal of some sort with Novak, then you could maybe do something like a 2 or 3 year deal, see what he's got. But it's definitely not coming at the $4 million average. I would maybe give him 3 for that, but I don't know. There's a lot just to think about there for sure, Robbie.
Let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Nate. Nate, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
What's up, guys? I have always been, since kind of, I guess, the beginning of the season, really, even when they were playing really well, because I kind of figured it was, you know, kind of a false or whatever, but they finally came down to earth. They should obviously be a seller. And I have been concerned that this winning streak, especially against Vegas, that they would, or that Barry would change his mind and be somewhat of a buyer. But Alex Doherty said something last week that really kind of helped me feel a little better, that Barry wants the guys to play better at home. And to me, he doesn't feel like the road game is what should be the measuring stick. What do y'all think of that?
Yeah, thanks for the call, Nate. You know, certainly they got to be better at home. They're 14-15 at home, which is not good enough if you're going to be a serious playoff threat. Like, you got to be better on home ice. Like, you know, I don't know that Barry Trotz meant that, you know, there's no value in gauging how a team does on the road, but I do think, you know, good teams find a way to perform at home and take advantage of those points. Now, the thing with that is you got 5 games coming up all at home before the trading deadline. So you've got 5 games at home in a row, and you're going to get a good opportunity to turn that thing around. Like, if you win 3 out of 5, 4 out of 5 before the deadline, I do think that's going to make the decision pretty difficult for Barry Trotz.
And it will. And look, the schedule is kind of in the favor of the Preds in this situation as well. But how do you handle, you know, playing a Buffalo, playing an Ottawa that comes in town here? That's the main question, because, you know, maturity is the right phrase just to be aware of right now. I mean, how are the guys going to grasp playing at home? You know, McDonough even said post game about a month ago, said that we've got to be past this point of growing pains at home. It's just ridiculous. I mean, and all the sentiment is in the locker room is that exactly. It's everybody is frustrated with how they've done at home. Now, is it because you're at home and you're just in front of your own fans? Well, I'm not really sure that should be something that you should be thinking of necessarily, but why is that adding more pressure? Not sure why it's any different at home. Quite frankly, the Preds, this could be the year where we look at it and go, this might be one of the worst home records we've ever seen. And why is that? I'm not really sure. Is it the pressure? Is it just because you're not consistent enough? I don't know. I think that's just what you have to draw it down to, at least for now, unless one of these guys goes, well, here's why, but I don't know.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We got some tickets to give away, a pair of tickets to see Dr. Jordan Peterson at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Friday, April 5th. Be caller 5-615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. Caller 5 will win a pair of tickets to see Dr. Jordan Peterson at Bridgestone Arena on Friday, April 5th. You're listening to Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, final segment of the day, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, the game. Robbie Stanley, Nick Keiser here with you on this Monday morning. We got some tickets to give away to see Jordan Peterson at Bridgestone Arena on Friday, April 5th. We call 3-615-737-1025. More tickets to give away, 615-737-1025. Call the 3, we'll win a pair of tickets to see Jordan Peterson at Bridgestone Arena coming up on Friday, April 5th. 615-737-1025. Preds back in action tomorrow, coming off a 5-game winning streak on the road. Got a texter on the text line going back to the confusing part of this team front, talking about how you can never figure this team out in regards to the trade deadline. As a fan, you should be excited. Trotz is being put in a difficult situation. What to do? Do I believe they're ahead of schedule? Yes. I think if you're a buyer, buying is staying pat. I think if Trotz should stand firm on the knock my socks off deal and trading Soros. And if you're still on the team after the deadline, that's you buying. I want something similar to the deals like Ekholm or Janot got last year. This is from Josh from Lebanon on the text line. I'm interested to see if one of those deals exists. I mean, look, nobody saw the Tanner Janot deal coming to the extent that it did last year in terms of the return, which I think was 1 year ago today when they traded Tanner Janot. I believe that is 1 year ago today. I know it's 1 year ago today that David Poile announced his retirement, and I think those happened on the same day. So, been a year ago since you got that trade. Is there anybody out there that could fetch you something like that that you have? I don't think so. Like, you know, outside of Soros, obviously. But, like, would a Colton Sissons be valuable at the deadline? Would Novak, would he be valuable? Would there be teams that would give up significant draft capital for him? Alex Carrier on the back end. Or if you keep winning, like if you're Barry Trotz, do you look at it and say, you know what? I like the group that we have. We've got some unrestricted free agents that you're going to have to figure out. But given what the team has done, I'd be willing to lose those guys for nothing if it comes down to it. I don't know. That's the interesting predicament that you're in. I think that's what makes it tough if you're the Predators in terms of exactly what to do here. But no question, I didn't think we'd be having this conversation after that 9-2 Dallas game. And whether you want to blame the U2 concert or just the natural response that comes to getting embarrassed after that, for whatever reasons, Predators have locked in here. And they've started to pay attention to the finer details in the game. The secondary scoring has come about, and it's made things pretty interesting here this week coming back home.
Yeah, it absolutely has, and you are right. It was a year ago today that there were like basically half the draft that Tampa had was traded away to get Tanner Janot, and the Predators obviously were able to capitalize in the draft and got some pretty big high-profile guys and Matthew Wood and then Tanner Molendijk, and even got – I like Cole Lind as well, someone that you can kind of look forward to in the future. That's a grinder. I've been watching him some in the WHL this year with the Red Deer Rebels. But Robbie, I think looking at this deadline in general, there's a lot to be excited for. There's a lot of animosity, I feel like, with this trade deadline. What are they going to do in the long stretch? I'm curious to see what other teams in the Central do, to be honest with you, because some of these teams are in the hunt. You know, I don't see a Wild being a buyer whatsoever. What do they do with Marc-Andre Fleury? I saw that our friend Joe Smith, he was talking about how they don't think that there's going to be a trade with Flower, but they do think, based on what Flower has said, he'd like to stick it out there and see if they can make a push. So, and John Hines will be here on Thursday with those Wild. And yeah, it's going to be very interesting to see what some of these contenders are interested in as well. You know, Kevin Weeks and Elliot Friedman, everyone's going to be like, hey, these guys are on the block, or hey, I've heard this guy's name thrown out there. You're going to have a lot of that in the next little bit. Trade deadline's coming at, 3 p.m. on March 8th. So we have a lot to talk about before then. How did the Predators handle the deadline approach? How will Barry Trotz, obviously, approach his first trade deadline by himself? He has no David Poile. Well, David Poile's, you know, he's here for moral support. Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm sure that he will, but yeah, I think it'll be interesting how will they do with all of that and how will the staff approach the longevity of this franchise. Those are a lot of things, but pressing questions for this franchise, Robbie.
Well, in the meantime, you got five games at home before the deadline. And if you keep winning, then I do think the equation starts to change a little bit from the Barry Trotz point of view. We can argue whether or not it should change, and I'm certainly open to those conversations. But I do think the reality of the situation is it does change a little bit. So an opportunity for the players coming back tomorrow against Ottawa at home. You're coming off a long road trip, a very successful road trip. Can you handle being back on home ice and continue to win and continue to rack up points? You've gotten yourself back in a playoff spot at this point. Still some games in hand that other teams have around you at the moment that you're going to have to continue to win and take advantage of the opportunities at home for the next five games. Deadline is March the 8th, so we're getting down to crunch time for the NHL trading deadline, and it's certainly shaping up to be a pretty interesting one for the Nashville Predators and the options they have in front of them. That's going to do it for us today here on Robbie and Rex Road. Joe will be back tomorrow morning, fresh off the NFL Combine, day one in Indianapolis. Jason Big Joe coming up next. You're listening to 102.5, 106.3, The Game.